Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is May 28th, 2014. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Dave, hi.
Jeff, hi. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And also, Brian Chaffin. Brian, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to be a contrarian.
As I understand. It's your special way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the topics that we found for today, I think, are actually really cool, especially because of the way everyone really lit up when we started talking about them. So just to jump right in, yesterday, which would have been Tuesday, we had a little piece showing a video of kids having to figure out how to use an Apple II computer. And of course these videos are fun to watch, but what made this one like really cool was that while you're watching these kids essentially fight the computer to figure out how to do things.
Yeah, let's specify that these are contemporary kids today,
right?
And the series puts them in front of technology that is not mainstream today, but used to be, especially to many of those who were watching, i.e. old people like us.
Yes. Right. Old people. Hey, get off my lawn.
Because we ran the one with the telephones, for instance, where they stuck a rotary phone in front of a bunch of kids today and you know, asked them how that worked. So this is all part of the same series.
Yes. There's another one where they give them a Walkman cassette player. And the kids are absolutely baffled by the technology.
And but this one they put them in front of an Apple IIe or an Apple II of some sort, right? I think it was a IIe.
It looked like a IIe.
Yeah. And they coach them, and you can watch the video, but they coach them through it because at first they can't even figure out how to turn it on, which is interesting. They turn on the monitor and then, you know, finally learn to reach around the back and then realize, well, then what does it do, right? There's all of that.
Right. And you watch these children doing things like tapping the screen. And you can actually hear the sound as they tap the glass. And they aren't sure how to make anything happen on this computer. And finally, they start playing with the keyboard, and you see one of the kids type Google and hit return. And of course, what they get is a syntax error.
That's right. They type their name. Every kid, it seemed, wanted to type their name. That was once they got to the point where they could type on the keyboard, they could type their name.
That's fascinating.
Which was right. That in and of itself was fascinating. But something happened in the course of this entertaining thing that you might miss if you just watched it. But having grown up with one of these computers and having learned a lot about, you know, skills that I still use today, not necessarily the exact things that I do today, but certainly the foundation of skills. This one girl, they tried to get the kids to do a math problem, simple math problem, 2 + 2, right? And get the computer to spit out the right answer. And so they had to go through these machinations to do that. And finally, with healthy amounts of coaching, the kids learned you had to, on that machine, type print space 2 + 2 and press enter, and then it would spit out the result 4. And then, of course, leave you at a prompt where you had to then do the next thing. And this one girl did it. And she said, ooh, she got all excited. She says, it spit out my answer. I'm so proud of myself. And it was like, yeah, that's it. That's how I felt back then. And I still feel that way today when I do some programming or do something that requires me to think about how to interact with the computer, as opposed to just checking my email or using it as a tool, right? It's a hammer. Okay, great. Well, great. Very simple, you know, and it's great that computers are simple to use, right? We couldn't do what we were doing here if computers were still very, very, very difficult to use. But in terms of just spending time at the computer, it used to be that even just spending time, quote unquote, killing time at the computer was productive time, and that you had to figure out what to do. Very rarely as a kid, would I have sat at a computer and not been productive and like challenged mentally at some level. Mm-hmm. And And today that doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen, right? It can, like I said, I can do programming, and when I have to do some script and, you know, on the back end of what we do here at TMO and I write something cool, it's that same feeling I had when I was a kid, but I don't have to do that every day. And it was fascinating to see this girl, that switch flipped for her. She's like, whoa, that's cool. I made the computer do 2 + 2, right? It wasn't the operation. It wasn't the fact that it gave her the answer. It wasn't the fact that it checked her email. It wasn't the fact that it visited a website for her. It was that she figured out how to make the computer do this at a very basic level. And in a sense, it's sad that that's missing, just a little sad, but that that's missing everyone's computing experience today. Yeah,
but, and for a moment, she was in 1982.
Yeah.
But it's only sad in the same way that every bit of technology advancement, and by technology, actually, I'm referring to in the very, very liberal sense of the word, as opposed to the narrow sense of the word today, where things get easier and it's, you know, and it's no longer hard, and then we can move on to doing other things. I mean, it's
absolutely even me doing that with an Apple II, print 2 + 2 and feeling proud of that, is nothing compared to, say, what Woz did designing the circuit board to make it so that I could do print 2 + 2 on that computer.
It's true.
Right? I mean, it's nothing. And what Woz did is nothing compared to what, like, Engelbart did years prior, right? I mean, we constantly build on the work of what came before us. But I feel like today we're in a gap. There's not something that's interesting for kids that forces that, you know, kind of necessity of the mother of invention concept, right? They can just get things done, and they don't have to stop and think about, how am I going to do this? And this happens from time to time, right? I mean, we have these gaps or these periods where we are in a very innovative period where we have to work and figure things out. And then we kind of go into the period where it's like, hey, you know, now we've got the tools that we need. We don't have to work as hard at it anymore.
But it's not like when we were kids on Apple IIs. It's not like that was all of the kids back then.
Like, it was everyone with a computer back then. But
it was everyone with a computer, but that was a tiny subset of the overall population.
That's right.
Even in school classes, it was
But there was a period of time shortly after that where everyone wanted a computer and had to figure it out. And I trained a lot of those people. And that moment of pride happened over and over again.
Oh, that was a very exciting time. That was a time when we did not take our computers for granted.
Right.
And now we put an iPhone in our pocket and we complain when Siri doesn't give us the answer we're looking for.
That's right. Yeah. This isn't a bad thing. It's like I said, it's how we go. It's just, we happen to be in a period where, you know, there isn't this, you don't have to force to learn something.
Somehow you're making me feel like a curmudgeon because, and maybe it's just because I'm kind of a jerk, but I totally recognize what you're talking about, and I totally understand the importance of that feeling of accomplishment that one used to have, but I'm not nostalgic about it at all. That's not those days were not better than having, you know, these Macs in front of us or Siri in our pocket.
What I'm nostalgic for is that sense of being a vanguard, of being someone on the beyond the bleeding edge of the technology frontier. And I don't think we have that anymore.
Especially for kids. I mean, that, you know, certainly if I want to, for myself, do something that gives me that feeling every day, I can decide to, you know, really challenge myself and write iOS apps, right? I mean, I don't know Objective-C. I've done enough programming that I'm sure I could understand it, but there would be, you know, a year or years of really challenging myself and you know, creating new synapses and all that stuff. And I'd be really proud of it. And actually, maybe that's something I should do in my free time, right? But because I have a lot of that these right. days, especially with kids and all the stuff we do here. But what opportunities do kids have to like just dive into that world? All this technology creates distractions. I mean, it may be the same as the distraction that television would have caused for me back then. I don't know. I just don't see it.
So, you know, is there really any difference between writing your first program and getting through a level of Candy Crush? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. Kidding. But that's a good spot to end this conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about something else that that I think ties in really well with what you were saying, Dave, and not at all with what you just said, Brian, which is WWDC, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, is happening next week. Apple has confirmed that they are doing a keynote presentation, which they have done every year. Right. And it will be the presentation that's open not only to the developers that are there, but to media. And they're going to live stream it over the internet. So that means all of us sitting at home, or all of you sitting at home, will be able to watch along and see the same things that we're seeing as it happens, which is a cool thing.
We'll still be doing live coverage for those who can't.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we'll definitely have our live coverage and all of the analysis that you would expect from us. And it's going to be an exciting day. So that's June 2nd at 10 in the morning Pacific time. And I'm curious what you guys think is going to happen.
But before we talk about what's going to happen, can I take a step back, Jeff, and talk about Sure. the fact that this is happening? Right? Apple has done live streaming of keynotes, and I'll call them keynotes in a general sense, before. In fact, they did them a decade ago, and then they stopped doing them. And then a couple of years ago, they started doing them, and
some of them,
and we all speculated that they were always announced very last minute, like maybe an hour before, sometimes the evening before. But there was never any big, you know, certainly not an announcement a week before. And our sort of assumption about that was, well, they're testing their data center, they're doing something, and this is a good opportunity to, you know, kind of put a little load test on it or whatever. But this, especially because it's WWDC, typically stuff aimed at developers, but stuff we're all interested in, right? And they know that, you know, OS 10, 10, 10, presumably, right? And then iOS 8. But that's not something Apple would typically go out of their way to stream to the public and announce a week in advance. So Mm-mm. so that in and of itself is curious to me.
Yeah, it's very curious, and I think that it says quite specifically that Apple is intending to introduce probably multiple things that will have a broad mainstream interest, consumer interest.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see several products that are announced at this event.
And that's kind of interesting because historically, while Apple has upon occasion introduced new products at WWDC, they typically introduce things like new features for upcoming OS versions and app versions, not so much, hey, here's a brand new platform, which is kind of what I'm expecting out of this now.
Yeah, the home automation, this Apple announced this the same day, actually technically the day after, but the same day that most of us in the States were talking about it because of Memorial Day. The Financial Times reported that Apple would be launching a major home automation platform at this event. And to me, Apple then announcing this the streaming coverage of this event gave a lot of credibility to that report.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, the other thing is that it's worth pointing out. Come Monday, when they do this event, it will have been 142 days since Apple's last press event, keynote, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, the last one they did was late October. That's a long time for Apple to go.
It is a long time for Apple to go.
Surprisingly long.
Yeah. But they did the iPad refresh in the fall. Right. I mean, they've shifted a lot of that spring stuff to the fall, which makes sense because you want new iPads out before Christmas and all that stuff. But yeah, it makes it interesting.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a doozy of an event. I don't think this is like, I don't think that this is simply Apple deciding that from now on they're going to stream all these events. And we're just happen to be starting with this one.
No, that's right.
Like, I think this is in some way being perceived within Apple as a special event.
All right. So what that means is that come June 2nd, we are all going to be very busy because there's probably going to be a lot for us to stay on top of, sort through, analyze, and then pass on to all of our readers.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, I can't wait for next Monday, although I'll have to because I don't have a TARDIS. And thanks to both of you for joining me today. And let's see what happens next Tuesday. Monday.
Indeed. Monday. Monday. It'll be Monday. Yes.
What's the last time we had a keynote on Monday for WWDC? It's not usually on Monday,
Every WWDC.
Oh, huh. Yeah. I should pay attention to this sort of thing.
Yeah. They have to do it on Monday. I mean, because they you know, right now the session schedule is things like, you know, we'd love to tell you it's still a secret, you know, things like that. They have to do the keynote in order for the sessions to there'll be one session on Monday afternoon, typically with like the State of the Union thing. But even that might move to Tuesday morning. I don't know. So, yeah, that it always happens Monday.
Yeah, well, you can just edit out me asking, right?
Yeah, oh, sure. Sure we do with the live show.
Excellent. Thank you.
Already
thank
done.
You. Fantastic. Yeah.
No one will know, Brian.
That's
no,
good.
No one will know. All right. Well, really this time, thanks for joining me, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jeff.